Today's first feature was written by Keith Skipper and reminds us of a culinary queen who was a trailblazer for Delia Smith. Here is Lorna Jesty to read Keith's article. Beware of the terrible puns at the end.
Back in the olden days, now commonly labelled 2013 BC, before COVID, I set old-fashioned taste buds tingling with memories of Anglia television culinary character Marjorie Daines. This Dereham champion of no-nonsense country fare cuts her way through the celebrity-infested kitchen corps to emerge as a much-admired Delia of her day. I received several well-thumbed copies of Anglia's 1964 publication, Mrs. Daines' Country Cooking, along with a fresh batch of stirring testimonials as to how her straightforward recipes still worked a treat in many local households. Marjorie's rich Norfolk tones added an attractive flavour to her forthright deliberations. She may again set a fine example in these difficult times when seeking value for money and the cook-it-yourself spirit can combine to help combat rapidly rising household bills. Thankfully, another homemade star of the small screen dished up a memorable foreword to that little book to leave us a fascinating picture of a homely queen of country cooking. Dick Joyce, probably the best-loved figure to emerge during Anglia's golden years as he fronted Farming Diary, the About Anglia News magazine programme and Bygones, really knew his patch and what tickled the viewers' fancies. Bygones, which in lesser hands might have been just another worthy lesson in history and traditional crafts, was essential viewing for 20 years as the avuncular Dick simply asked, "Does anyone know what this was used for?" He recognised the world from which Marjorie Daines rose to pass on some of her delights collected in over two decades of service, working her way through grades of promotion as bewildering and privilege-conscious as the gentry had to contend with above stairs. She started at 14, just after the First World War, as a scullery maid in a big Norfolk manor house. She received a wage of £9 a year, had one afternoon off a month, and went into procession to church every Sunday with the other servants marching in order of seniority, as strict as that of a royal funeral. Marjorie got up at 4:30 a.m. and seldom went to bed before 10:30 p.m. There were swings and seesaws in the garden for kitchen girls and soup kept on the boil for the poor of the village, who would come to the back door to collect it. In service as a cook, she knew the proud squares of Belgravia and Kensington and many noble townhouses, long since split into bedsitters, before returning to Norfolk to carry on cooking. She had watched, learned and remembered. With chapped hands at 14, she had plucked game birds, cut up rabbits, hares, sheep, pigs and venison. This was her grounding as she watched them prepare and cook everything from swans to bread in those self-supporting households. Dick concluded triumphantly, "At last I have persuaded Mrs. Daines to put some of her recipes in this book." But I do not think she lives in the past, that no recipe is any good to her unless it is done lavishly. Nobody knows better than she that those days have gone. She has aimed for simple, straightforward menus with ingredients that will be part of your household budget, making a little go a long way. Even in the swinging 60s, especially in sensible places like Norfolk, that domestic creed still held sway in more enlightened kitchens. For those too busy today, rooted to the sofa with ready-made meals and watching wall-to-wall ego basting on a bed of freshly contrived histrionics, such a formula must be the cornerstone of careful housekeeping. Meanwhile, dear Mrs. Beaton must be spinning in her Victorian gravy as she peers down on a nation obsessed with food and all the fancy trimmings. Her 1861 tome on household management, including useful recipes for a growing band of middle-class gourmets, remains in print, but unlikely to be perched up against the mixing bowls of such luminaries as softly spoken Gordon Ramsay or soberly attired Nigella Lawson. Isabella Mary Beaton, Busy Lizzie to her admirers, was only 28 when she died. She is seen by many as the godmother of home cooking, warming the oven for future generations to save money and earn praise for rising to the occasion in producing good, wholesome fare for hungry families. Such noble objectives now seem all but buried beneath a bloated cookery industry built on half-baked celebrities, overdone recipe books straining for effect, and an indigestible television menu overloaded with a blatantly contrived competitive edge. It's like introducing a wrestling bout to settle a close bowls match. Rather than encouraging a rush for rolling pins, greaseproof paper and measuring jugs, I suspect this endless cavalcade of culinary contests is provoking a major rise in the number of takeaway meals being consumed in front of the box. Family eating doesn't get any more serious than this. A frightening rumour that even more courses are being cooked up with a revival programme starring a host of old telly favourites. You must be a few sandwiches short of a picnic not to appreciate new roles for Mr. Pastry, Muffin the Mule, Bill and Ben the Flowerpot Men, Flapjack and Ori, Crackling Jack, Baguette Puss and the Puddin' Tops. Must not forget Hancock's Half Hour, Gas Mark 31, Mash of the Day, This Is Your Loaf, What's My Loin, and Gardener's Whirl.
Thank you, Lorna.